Today we want to think on the subject of Christ is our Savior, and our scripture is from Colossians 1, 13 to 14. The false teachers in Colossae, like the false teachers of our day, would not deny the importance of Jesus. They would simply dethrone him, not give him the preeminence that he deserves. They would give him a prominent place, but not a preeminent place. In their philosophy, Jesus Christ was but one of many ways through which men could reach God. It was their claim that Paul now refutes in Colossians. Probably no paragraph in the New Testament contains more concentrated doctrine about Jesus Christ than this one. Let us remember that Paul wrote to prove the preeminence of Christ, and he did so by using four unanswerable arguments. Now, Christ is the Savior, and notice in Colossians 1, 13 and 14, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Now, man's greatest problem is sin, a problem that can never be solved by a philosopher or a religious teacher. Sinners need a Savior. These two verses present a vivid picture of the four saving actions of Jesus Christ on our behalf. First of all, he delivered us. Notice verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. This word means rescued from danger. We could never deliver ourselves from the guilt and penalty of sin, but Jesus could, and he did deliver us when we received Christ as our Savior. We were in danger of spending eternity in hell, apart from God. The sword of God's judgment was hanging over our heads, but this deliverance involves something else. We were delivered from the authority of Satan and the power of darkness, the demonic beings. The false teachers believed in these too, but Paul reminded us that we are delivered from their authority and power, and one day from their very presence and influence. Remember what it said? Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Also, secondly, he translated us. Notice again verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and then notice the last part of verse 13, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. This word was used to describe the placing of a population from one country into another. And we have a number of examples in the Old Testament. Remember the captivity of Israel. Many Jewish people were taken and placed in Assyria. And then there was the captivity of Judah, and many Jewish people were taken from Judah and placed in Babylon. And then later, history records that at least 2,000 Jews were transported from Babylon to Colossae. Now, Jesus Christ did not release us from bondage only to have us wander aimlessly in life. He moved us into his own kingdom of light and made us victors over Satan's kingdom of darkness. Earthly rulers transported the defeated people, but Jesus Christ transported the winners, the victors. The phrase, his dear son, can be translated, the son of his love. At the baptism and transfiguration of Jesus Christ, the Father declared that Jesus was his beloved son. This fact reminds us of the price the Father paid when he gave his son for us. It also reminds us that his kingdom is a kingdom of love as well as a kingdom of light. The experience of Israel in the Old Testament is an illustration of this spiritual experience. For God delivered the Jewish people from bondage in Egypt and took them into the promised land of their inheritance. God takes us out that he might bring us in. Now, another thing, a third thing is he redeemed us. Notice verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood. This word means to release a prisoner by the payment of a ransom. Paul did not suggest that Jesus paid a ransom to Satan in order to rescue us from the kingdom of darkness. By his death and resurrection, Jesus met the holy demands of God's law. Satan seeks to accuse us and imprison us because he knows we are guilty of breaking God's law. But the price has been paid on Calvary, and through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been set free. And fourthly, he has forgiven us. Notice the last part of verse 14. I'll read the whole verse. In whom we have redemption through his blood, and then the last part, even the forgiveness of sins. Redemption and forgiveness go together. The word translated forgiveness means to send away or to cancel a debt. Christ has not only set us free and transferred us to a new kingdom, but he has canceled every debt so that we cannot be enslaved again. Satan cannot find anything in the files, so to speak, that will indict us. We must not forget the freedom of forgiveness. God's forgiveness of sinners is an act of his grace. We did not deserve to be forgiven, nor can we earn forgiveness. No amount of works that we could do could earn God's forgiveness. Knowing that we are forgiven makes it possible for us to fellowship with God, to enjoy his grace, and seek to do his will. Forgiveness is not an excuse for further sin, but rather it is an encouragement for us to live an obedient life for Christ. And also, because we have been forgiven, we can forgive others. Remember the parable of the unforgiving servant makes it clear that an unforgiving spirit always leads to bondage. Back in Matthew chapter 18, beginning with verse 32 to 35, we read, then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt that you owed me, because you desired me. Should not thou also have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? And the Lord was wroth or angry, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespass. Now in conclusion, Jesus Christ is preeminent in salvation. No other person could deliver us from the penalty of sin, could redeem us and forgive us and transfer us out of Satan's kingdom into God's kingdom and do it wholly by grace. The phrase, through his blood, reminds us of the cost of our salvation. Moses and the Israelites only had to shed the blood of a lamb and sacrifice it to be delivered from Egypt. But Jesus had to shed his own blood to deliver us from the penalty and power of sin. There's a song, and I'm sure you know, are familiar with it. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. And then the last verse, ere since by faith I saw that stream thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are that you love us, and that you love us so much that you sent Jesus to come to earth, to become a man, and to grow up and to go to the cross and take our place and become our substitute and pay the penalty for our sin by shedding his blood there on the cross. Thank you, Father, for paying the penalty. And thank you that when we trusted Jesus as our Savior, our sin was all forgiven and we were made your children, and we have everlasting life. And we have the assurance that when we leave this life, we're going to go to heaven to meet you and to be with you forever. Thank you, Father, for such great love. In Jesus' name, amen.